activate your microphone.
Okay, so red was on.
Okay,
so I thought it was off. Okay, it's okay. So I'll start again. So welcome everybody. And welcome to the CISNSO SAP working group meeting at the ICANN, during the ICANN meeting. And thanks for coming. And first of all, we have to record the apology of Leslie, who cannot be with us today, and she's very much looking forward to join the meeting during the ICANN meeting in Dublin. We have also one remote participant who is the new staff at the CISNSO Secretariat, Kim. Welcome, Kim. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, great. So will you be with us at some point in the future, one of the next meetings?
I sure hope so.
Okay, so we look forward to knowing you face-to-face. And I'd like to thank Bart, who has helped to draft the agenda and liaise with Xavier and Carol, who are going to join us in about 50 minutes. And Bart has later this morning sent out the presentation that they will go through during today's meeting. Is there any other point you'd like to add to the agenda, which starts with a short review of the process which led to the submission of our comments to the draft fiscal year 16 operational plan and budget? Then it will be followed by few points we may like to highlight without killing each other, in preparation of the meeting with the board. And then we're going to spend a few words about the preparation of the meeting with Xavier and Carol. And then Xavier and Carol will guide us through the presentation which Bart shared later this morning. And then we have last part of the agenda is to wrap up and think about the next steps of the work of this working group. I don't know, one point that I may like to add is eventually to have a call for new volunteers of the working group, as there have been some changes as Dina left. She's no longer working at ISOC Israel, so she's not anymore a member of this working group. So we may like to have a further call for new volunteers who may like to participate in the work of this working group. Yes, Peter.
I think this is probably the appropriate topic and my cue to announce as well that I'm going to step down from the SOP working group. My board instructed me to reevaluate the time that I'm spending at ICANN meetings. And I've been doing this now for about 6 years. I don't know when the first one was, but the first one I remember was probably in Mexico City. So this will be my last meeting in the SOP working group.
Thank you, Peter. So we definitely need new volunteers, unless you'd like to stay, because I'm still the chairman of the board, so I may reassess my opinion. As the board is not here, I'm the only board member, so, and I'm the chairman of that board, so... Is it approved? Okay. Okay. So we will definitely need new members of this working group to make sure that the working group is strong enough to cope with the challenges of coming reviews of the strategy plan and also of the fiscal year 17 as I guess there are going to be quite a lot of changes in the planning, considering the transition, the accountability, and much more. So I guess we will have a bit more work in the near future. Anything else for the agenda? Mathieu.
Just to state that I apologize, I will have to leave the meeting a bit earlier.
Okay. Anything else, let's say, content related to the agenda. Thank you, Mathieu. I know that I really appreciate Mathieu is there because he's one of the busiest members of the community this day, really busiest, and it's really good to see him alive, so at least at the beginning of the meeting. Okay, so we consider the agenda as approved as it is, and we start with the first point, which is the review process of the draft of the comments we submitted to the fiscal year 16 operational plan and budget of ICANN. So we have submitted those comments in time, and ICANN responded to all the comments they received recently. The main, let's say, common pattern that can be seen when going through all the comments, and especially the comments of different constituencies, is the fact that there is a common comment that is the lack, that is highlighting the lack of proper metrics and proper KPIs in what we have been provided. And as well as there are more specific comments regarding some of the figures that were presented regarding the budget. But as I say, the main comment which we can spot in the long list of comments that I can receive is this need to introduce more metrics and more key performance indicators when presenting an operational plan and budget to the community. Regarding our comments, I had quite a constructive discussion with Xavier and Carol in preparation of this meeting on Thursday, and I pointed them that the fact that we really have been spending now many years highlighting the need to have more clear goals, much more detailed KPIs in this kind of planning. And there was an acknowledgement at their end that they are in the process of getting there. And I invited them to give specific examples at today's meeting. So together with the presentation, we are going to be provided with, at least I hope, we are going to be provided with specific examples of getting there, including like there are some feedback. There was some feedback to our comments which was saying, yeah, we will do that, but there was nothing more than we will do that. So I said to them that instead of reading we will do that, it would be more valuable for us to read we'll do that by, and then they can put Q2 2017 or Q2 2016. And I said to them that we are all human, we are all working in a challenging environment, and it would be understandable if at some point instead of being Q2 2016, that deliverable is ending in Q3 2016 or at a later stage or even earlier, but at least there is a time, a reference for the community to evaluate that they are delivering, and which is something that is still missing, including the introduction of indexes of different kinds to measure the activities. And they acknowledge also that they are working on those indexes, and they are aiming to have most of the indexes ready by early next year. But again, I said to them that in the responses we are provided, instead of saying we'll work on that, we should be given a time frame and more specific examples how they are working internally to get where we pointed them to. So I believe part of the presentation of today will be enriched with different examples of what they are doing at internal level. And as I said to them, this would be a very first example of being accountable to the community, because you give the community the chance to evaluate what you are doing during a specific time frame without keeping the entire goals at very generic level, without the possibility for the community to see when they can check the work done. Is there anything you would like to specifically point out to Carol and Xavier when they come to the meeting regarding this approach that I recommended them?
Well,
No? Consensus? Jet lag?
Both.
Both, okay. Time of the day? Okay. Regarding the preparation of the meeting with the ICANN board and the CISNSO SAP working group, which is taking place this week, I had also an email exchange with Leslie, and we were both in agreement to stress three elements of what we have been doing so far when providing comments to the strategy planning or the operational planning. And the three points are related to the need to have more concrete KPIs, need to have more specific figures regarding the projection of income and expenditure at ICANN side, and also the need to have timings. And I added that I believe that there should be a way to educate ICANN senior staff to have this culture of having objectives with clear KPIs. Because as I was discussing with Carola and Xavier, I believe that those KPIs, those metrics should come from the different ICANN departments rather than being imposed externally. So it should be the first job of an ICANN department, and I give you the example of the one in charge of international relations. I believe that we should not hear anymore that a one KPI to evaluate the level of engagement with at international level is to count is the number of MOUs. That's really something that my seven-year-old son can say to me, but from senior staff, this is very superficial. So it's not the quantity that measure the work in this case, but is how, let's say, those MOUs translates into concrete and valuable partnerships, not only for ICANN, but for the entire community. And they agreed that this is something in the talk I had with Xavier and Carol. They agreed that this is something they are really working hard to get there. So those are the three points plus this culture. Yeah. So the first one being the need to have more concrete KPIs. The second one is to have more specific details regarding the projection of income and expenditure at ICANN side. Third one being the timing of the action, and the last one is to have a sort of culture of KPIs at ICANN senior staff level, which will help the community to see some accountability at ICANN staff level. Mathieu.
Thank you, Giovanni. I fully agree with those three items. The third item about the culture of setting KPIs and feeling accountable to them is something that I think Carol and Xavier will certainly struggle with, because it's definitely not something they can achieve within ICANN without very strong support from the board and the leadership. So I think it's a very important aspect to stress to the board of ICANN. And at the same time, I think there's something that we should certainly stress as advice, which is that there are out there frameworks to deliver, to enhance the orientation towards results of an organization. This is routinely used in the industry, in the service industry, but also in public services. There are many frameworks. They're all about business excellence. One of them was used by ICANN for a time. That was EFQM, the European Framework for Quality Management. There are others. But I think we should signal our concern that it has been given up for IANA for another framework, which is more of a compliance framework, compliance with a certain set of things. So the overall aspect of business excellence, which is about continuous improvement, which is about result orientation, so KPIs, and the maturity of the KPIs, because what the point problem you're pointing out is the maturity of the KPI. You start with measuring how many clicks you're making, and then you start thinking, maybe that's not performance. Maybe that's just the number of clicks, and I can improve this in terms of quality, in terms of cost, delays. And I think we should stress very strongly to the board that the absence of this right now, you know, at a time where ICANN is changing and structuring a lot of processes, is a very strong concern, and probably ask them what they intend to do on it. And probably we could give a heads up to Xavier and Carol that we have this concern, or at least explain why they gave up on EFQM for IANA, for instance.
Yeah, thank you, Mathieu.
I'd just like to back Matthew's comment about KPIs and link it to an observation that Xavier actually said when we had that meeting with them, because there are a couple of KPIs in there that are actually quite good and tight and solid, and he himself said that the difference of what he was getting from the different parts of ICANN was a big part of actually trying to put the whole thing together, and they actually struggled to get even a consistent response from across. I'd actually like to know, when there is a KPI, how that KPI goes back down the line to be in the manager's performance objectives and targets for them. Because there shouldn't be a KPI in anything that we're seeing that isn't also then in a staff member's or all the members of the appropriate team's individual performance objectives and targets that they've got to meet. So how do they actually tie that back into their whole performance management regime?
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Giovanni. I just want to pick on some critical, keyword, which is consistency, because my understanding is that no KPI are valid until we have a certain consistency and predictability policy-wise. Let me just remind you the first year of FADI in office, we talked multi-stakeholderism, and all the resources were actually focused on multi-stakeholderism. Next year, it was Net Mundial. So again, lots of activities, lots of funding. The third year was quite understandably IANA transition, and then I guess you followed that. There was that note by Steve Crocker and Fadi about technical excellence, the need to urgently achieve technical excellence, which I would welcome, of course, but this means a complete change of the discourse, and I've seen the figure is like $5+ million. I mean, for that particular purpose, I cannot recall if that figure has been already budgeted for year 2015. If so, that's great. But, I mean, we need to better understand the direction they are taking us well in advance, so that we wouldn't have that confusing situation which we already so many times found ourselves in. Like, we are trying to arrange certain comments, and then all of a sudden we are thrown into some new situation which just emerged out of nowhere.
Thank you, Leonida. I think it's a very good input regarding consistency, and we may like to ask, and this is going back to the strategy plan rather than operational plan, what are the concrete and objective priorities they have for each of the years of the strategy plan, which we have commented on last year? Because I think I agree that at some point there is a sort of confusion. What is the key priority for 1 year, and again, it should be kept throughout the planning, or again, the community should be informed. Wow, we have a... Hi, Xavier.
Hello.
I paved your way for your presentation.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's very good, and you have an antique here, because from this mug, the representative of the European Commission drank a coffee, so this is really something that we keep for CSI just in case. Whatever. So Leon, just to wrap up on your comment, again, thank you so much. It's really a very good comment. So I think this is something we may take up in the next phase when we may be asked to comment again on the review of the strategy plan. But it's really indeed something really important to understand about the consistency in the priorities. So it's really, we're talking about really high level. Okay, I got both.
You're surrounded.
I feel pressed.
No, you should feel supported.
I feel supported. I feel honored. Okay, so I'd like to thank again Xavier and Carol, as I was sent to the group, for the very good meeting we had on Thursday. And I was sent to the group that it was a good meeting to try, that helped at least me to understand, and this is what I said to the group, how you're working to make sure that our comments are taken on board and also they are destroying the proofs. And also how you are putting together the plans that you are presenting to the community. So that is really important. So thanks, Xavier, and thanks, Carol, again. Bart shared later this morning a presentation. Honestly, I didn't have time to go through it yet because I was in other meetings. I guess most of us didn't have time to go through it. But I believe that you may like to introduce some new people in ICANN who are going to help you in the strategy and operating planning process. So thanks again, Xavier and Carol.
Thank you, Giovanni. And thank you for taking the time to meet with us on the phone and face-to-face over the past few weeks. That was very helpful. Thank you for inviting us to work with you today. I'll start by introducing people that you may not know either by name or by face or both. At the end over there, you have Becky Nash. Becky is our recently arrived VP Finance at ICANN, which means that I will go on vacation soon because she's taking care of everything now. Abba Diakite used to be in the finance department. He's now in the PMO and BI department working with Carol. And you may have seen his name before. Or I don't know if you've met any of the members here, Abba, before. Abba has been with ICANN for a while now. 8 years? 9 years? Okay. Bart, can we start with the presentation? Okay. You were blending with Mathieu. Introduce yourself.
My name is Jax Khawaja. I'm the Enterprise Risk Director, and I appreciate you guys having us here today, and we'll give you a little bit of information on enterprise risk as we start the presentation. Thanks.
So we have at ICANN meetings and also on calls in the past, we have more presented either finance-specific subjects or dashboard-specific subjects. And we're trying to consolidate this information in terms of how it's communicated with the community under an operations update. So we will talk about more than simply the budget process or more than simply finance subjects with you today. And we intend to continue doing that on an ongoing basis and speak with all the various groups about an operations update, and in which there could be different components depending upon what is more timely at any point of time. But this is
basically the operations infrastructure update. It includes different subjects. Today we are suggesting to have a quick look at our management systems as a reminder, talk about the FY16 operating plan and budget, notably the public comment part of it, have a quick look at the FY15 financials. We would like to be able to talk about enterprise risk management, as Jack's indicated, and have a look at the status on the dashboard project and on the organizational excellence. I want to stop here so that we check with the group if there's any other subjects that we would like to make sure we include in the list that are not there right now. CCTLD contributions you want to talk about?
I during the meeting I had with Xavier, I asked that we are going to be provided with the updated figures regarding the CCTLD contributions to ICANN budget, as the last file we were shared, we were provided was having some incorrect figures. I think that we agreed also to get some examples, practical examples. So the entire group is very much looking forward to get some examples, which we spoke about in our informal meeting on Thursday. So is there any other point you'd like to see in this agenda for the presentation of Xavier and Carol? No, it's a bit. Don't worry about the sign. It's a bit of, you know, jet lag, accountability thoughts. It's a lot going on.
No problem. Carol, do you want to start on management systems?
Sure. If you go to the next slide, please. This is a picture of what we would call our management systems. As you can see, it starts with a strategic plan, and it rolls through the five-year and the one-year operating plan to the budget and cost management. You'll notice that the ones in orange are what we would call implementational management components. And then it goes from the budgeting cost to portfolio management to people performance, because we now have a more updated halogen performance, which ties to all of our strategic goals as well as our operating plan, to enterprise risk management, and then to reporting and dashboards. As one of the outer rings of this, it also shows that we've taken into account organizational excellence, which is a continuous improvement program, and we wanted to recognize that that is a key piece of this as well, and we will continue to evolve and change and improve as we go. Xavier, thank you.
One important point is that the strategic plan, the operating plan, the budget, the portfolio structure, the ERM, everything is structured on top of objectives, goals, portfolios, and projects that are the same across. And that's what's been a tool for us to ensure there's a full alignment between the strategic plan all the way through the budget and the delivery and the reporting as well. So that's the structure over which each of these systems or processes are based. Next. Update on the budget process, and more specifically on the public comments phase, which is coming to a close now. Quick overview, we had 9 organizations providing 85 comments. The main topics that came out were that the policy support with it was insufficient, lack of clarity on the USG transition, and there were a good number of comments or questions on KPIs, whether relative to understanding them better or to commenting on their adequacy or lack thereof for the measurement of the goals considered, et cetera. In terms of new organizations, we had for the first time in a long time at least, the GNSO Council commented on the draft. Their comments were mainly related to USG transition and policy support. As you may remember, for those of you who participated, immediately after the close of the public comment period on May 1st, we carried out a number of calls with the organizations that submitted comments for the purpose of ensuring that we have an adequate understanding of those comments and of the background for those comments, as well as trying to set expectations for answers. We have felt that it was very useful, but certainly the feedback from your group as well as others as to how useful those calls were will be very welcome for us. We felt it was useful because it helped clarifying comments. It helped setting expectations as well as to how to answer and what are the expectations from the people who had asked the questions or made the comments. And of course, it also helped us ensure that the board and the board finance committee members can attend those calls. So they were part of those calls. We had a shepherd for each organization from the board finance committee to ensure that they're involved in listening to the comments, and they also have helped us provide a sort of quality control of the responses to those comments. So they listened to the comments, and once we drafted responses, we provided those responses to the board members so that they can look at them and determine whether those responses, in their views, were addressing the comments. We believe it's helped us do a better job at the responses to the public comments, but this is really for all of you to indicate whether you believe there is improvement there, because if there is, we need to continue this. If there's not, we should find other approaches to improve. The responses were published along with in front of each comment on June 5th with the intent to allow a bit of time between the time they're published and the ICANN 53 meeting to let anyone react to those questions. And Giovanni has provided some additional comments that are useful to us and that we're going to take into account. As a result of the public comments, a number of changes have been made to the budget. First, the policy support has been increased as a result of the public comment. There's about three organizations that indicated that they thought the policy support resources were insufficient, and we have therefore taken that comment into account, increased the resources by $500,000. It includes two staff members, as well as a certain amount of about $300,000 of policy research professional services that have been included, and that's David Olives that formulated those resources for that increase. And we had also to increase the language services budget due to the basically increased volume of translations that happen simply due to the growth of the number of documents that are being published. There's a part of that is due to the USG transition activity that creates more information, more documents, more translation.
Okay, one question. So we have not added any language?
Correct. It's not a matter of the number of languages, documents. The volume of languages at this stage. These two changes add up to $1.1 million. We debated whether we should go back to the entire organization to change the budgets of everyone in order to take a bit from everyone in order to feed these increases, with the intent, of course, to remain within the same amount of expenses because our revenue expectation didn't change and we didn't want to go over revenue in terms of expenses. So we wanted to stay within. The very basic solution that we found is simply to decrease a bit our contingency by the same amount, to remain at the same amount of expenses while accommodating the policy support and language services increases. The contingency as a result is at a level of $3 million, which is probably a bit smaller than we would like it to be, but we believe is manageable under strict control. And just as a reminder, the contingency is simply, it's a budgeted amount of expenses, just not allocated to any specific activity as opposed to the rest of the budget. $3 million out of about $115 million is you know, a bit less than 3%. We would like it to be a bit more like 5% in the future, but that's the way we handle it this year. We've also clarified the language on the impact of the USG transition. The comments are mainly relative to, one, what have we reflected or not reflected in the budget relative to USG transition and post-USG transition. And the basic answer is we've not tried to change anything to the structure of the budget of ICANN to reflect a post-USG transition world, which we don't know really yet how it will look like. So we have not, as a result, tried to make a lot of changes relative to that structure. And that uncertainty also translates into the amount of resources that we have allocated to the USG transition activity, the completion of the transition project, and then the implementation of the post-transition solution. So we have, and you may remember last year, we had basically defined an envelope of approximately $7 million of resources to be supporting the project, the activity of the community who have worked on the project. We have this year about the same amount as an envelope allocated to both completing the transition work as well as the part of the implementation that will fall within FY16. Knowing that we don't yet know what that is going to be. So these are really, at this stage, envelopes and placeholder rather than very specific action plans with quantified, detailed information. Any question? Yes. Peter.
Thank you, Xavier, for the update on that. With regards to the clarification on the impact of the USG transition, if I remember correctly, I didn't check, but I think one of the points in our submission was that an important aspect of that was regardless of what happened, it would be good to get more clarity on the effective costs of IANA operations under the current mechanism, because regardless of what we're expecting in the future, that cost will likely be a significant element in the discussions moving forward. Is there any progress on that in singling out those costs?
So I have provided mid-March to the CWG design team O an assessment of the IANA functions costs under, to your point, the current model of ICANN operating those functions. I don't know how that's been distributed within the CWG, but this is something that I was intending actually to publish simply because everybody, a lot of people have interest, and that's something I'm very happy to send to this group if it's useful. It's an assessment of the complete cost, but under the model of operation where those functions are currently carried out by ICANN, which is fairly integrated for the parts of the services that are shared, like IT infrastructure is shared mainly. Finance, HR, so the overheads. So there's three buckets in the cost model that I shared, the very dedicated resources, because of course there are dedicated resources and dedicated assets, the specific activities relative to IANA functions but provided by shared resources. So for example, legal has very specific activities relative to the IANA functions, but it's a shared department. And then the overheads, which is what we said, finance, HR, infrastructure, and so on. So, and the total of that is $6.3 million. And by the way, each bucket is around 2 million each, approximately. The specific is 2.3 million from memory. So I'll send that to everyone. It's two pages. It provides a list of the activities that are under shared, because those are a bit less clear to address. What it does provide is the annual cost of operating the INF functions. What it doesn't provide is the cost of the assets that are specific to the INF functions, the key signing key facilities, for example, as well as the cost of the software and hardware that is, which are capital assets. It's not that we don't want to provide them. It's that we just that was not the question, the original question that was asked by the DTO, and we need to do more work to be able to provide that visibility when it's needed. But I will share that. It's a PDF of 2 pages. I'll share that with everyone. I think I'll make sure we
so
try to publish
just
it.
Just echoing somewhere. The interest of receiving this information in this group, and maybe a follow-up on this is, can you confirm that you're already preparing for everything in the fiscal year 2017 to include separate informations on IANA budget, including the capital assets, to be provided in the regular process of budgeting and strategy plan and everything? Is that something that the finance department is already preparing to, or has it not started?
So there's, it's easy to redo the analysis that I've done and update it on a more or less recurring basis. It's painful because it's ad hoc, but it's easy enough. So on one hand, we're going to try to produce that information on a more recurring basis. So the analysis that I will share was produced with the FY15 information costs, and we will update that information with the FY16 costs. Honestly, we tried to do it before Buenos Aires. We didn't have time to do it because we focused on the public comment process. So we're going to do that with the FY16 information so that we have the budget for the same budget for the INF functions. That budget will not necessarily reflect the post-transition situation, which we don't yet know what it will effectively be. So, but having said that, this is the available information at the time, so that's fine. We can provide that. There is a much larger question, which is the production of functional cost information at ICANN. Well, we want to get into that, not necessarily with this group, not necessarily now, but that's why I'm taking
just
two different
I'm conscious
paths.
Of time. I'm
yeah,
conscious
yeah.
of time for this meeting, and
no,
there's still
absolutely.
A lot of slides.
But my only point to that is we need to work on the ability to produce functional information, because the question on IANA functions, someone else has the same question on policy and on who is and on SSR and so on and so on. So the bottom line is that this is an area of research for us to be able to determine our capabilities of producing functional information, just like the IANA functions, for example. So that's why I mentioned the two paths. One is to produce the IANA functions information and replicate that information that we've already created for FY15, but then structurally organize ourselves to be able to produce that for IANA functions and other areas of costs in the future.
Savi, can I just say something? You also mentioned the strategic and operating plan separating out the IANA role. At this time, we have not done that in the strategic plan. When we go and do the update, which would be closer to September, we would start to pull information and look at what the variance and the impact would be. But we're not doing it before then because there's so many unknowns at this time and so many different scenarios. So we're not doing it right now in the strategic plan. It will be when we update the 5-year operating plan, we'll start to reflect that information. It's a strategic plan, and then there's a 5-year operating plan, and there's a 1-year operating plan.
Well, I think it's extremely important that in fiscal year 17, operating plan, whatever you call it, I mean, you will have all the information to incorporate from the CWG and the ICG, and that needs to be in line, because
I mean, there's a significant probability that if things go further, it's going to go further on July 1st or 2016, so if beginning of fiscal year 17.
Right.
I would not understand if the ICANN budgeting or operating plans were not aligned with the proposals from the community.
I heard you.
Completely agree in principle. Timing will be what we need to work on. We're going to need to update the five-year operating plan year two, which is FY17, in the next 2 to 3 months. And I'm hoping that we'll have enough information to do that at that stage. I'll finish, Mathieu. We're going to have a first phase of updating the year two of the five-year operating plan, and then the second phase will be the annual operating plan and budgeting, which will happen in the early part of next year. I'll finish again. And I think at that time we should have everything that we need to be able to reflect that in the budget. We have a planning process that spans over 10 months, and sufficient information will be available about in the middle of it, not at the beginning of it.
You have the information. After this meeting, I expect the CWG proposal would be handed over to, it will probably be handed over to the ICG. That will give it a sufficient level of confidence that it should be incorporated in ICANN's budget and plans.
I won't make a commitment.
That is at least my personal expectation, and I would be very, very critical of a budget and operating plan that would ignore this extremely strategic change.
Why do you think we would want to ignore it, Matt? We wouldn't.
Well,
we've
seen before strategic plans that kept being just updated incrementally and not taking into account things like Net Mundial or things like this.
Can I say something? I think I understand the two points. I believe there is a reassurance from Xavier department that the moment they are given what needs to be input in the process to get this translated into the strategy plan review and the operating plans fiscal year 17, they have a commitment to do that. So that's
the one thing I think where we might differ is at what point does internal finance strategic plan teams consider the information available in the community as sufficiently credible to be integrated. And I think it should certainly not be, and I would welcome a confirmation on this, not be delayed until Dublin, for instance, because as soon as it's on track, then it becomes the most, we're doing strategy. So strategy is about anticipating what is most likely and having backup scenarios. So I would welcome this being considered as the most likely scenario.
Understood.
Thank you. We can move forward, and we have some time constraints now because about 25-30 minutes left.
Yes, please. We'll go fast on the next slides.
This is a forecast of FY15. We tried to use the last meeting of the year to provide a view of the current year's financials. You may think that we're really a few days away from the end of the year, which we are, but we have not yet finalized the closing of the books for June, of course. So this is a forecast that we do on an approximately quarterly basis. This last one was done end of April, early May. It has 10 months of actual data plus 2 months of forecast. Basically, revenue slightly below budget by approximately $1 million is our expectation at this stage. Expenses in the same situation. From my perspective, this is really within budget. There's a certain amount of uncertainty relative to the month of May and June, which we will need to true up, but I'm not expecting a huge amount of differences versus this position. The larger recent information that this is reflecting is the USG transition-related costs, which
I said it's a weird description.
Yeah,
the USG transition indicates that we're transitioning the United States government.
I agree. It's USG stewardship transition.
I understood you. Can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman? What do you mean with baseline operational expenses?
So baseline is everything that's not an initiative, and an initiative is the USG transition project, for example. So our total company expenses include the baseline and the initiatives. The initiatives are funded through the reserve fund. The baseline is funded through the revenue of ICANN. Any other questions on that? Next. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Peter.
I'm sorry, Clavier. Maybe I'm just a bit slow, but this slide seems to indicate there is only one initiative going on at the moment. That is the case?
From the definition of funding, yes, that's the case. Of course, there could be other projects considered initiatives. But
other one, Stephen?
Are you confident that this figure that's now 7.9 is not going to explode into the 8.9 or 9.5 range?
The unknown there is the amount of the legal bills from Sidley Austin and Adler. And we've taken a position here that we have $500,000 per month that will be recognized in May and June. And it is possible that it's above that. So it's possible that it gets more to 8.3, 8.5 maybe. I'm hoping not, but that's the parameter. So there is a bit of a risk. I don't expect it to be in the 9 million, hopefully. I don't think there's enough time for them to build that much money, even at the price that they build.
It was the legal bills that I was referring
to,
because it looks like, if anything, the inflection curve is going skyward.
We're working with Mathieu and Jonathan and Lisa to ensure we have adequate control on that.
And there was an uptick in April when the lawyers came in into the groups, and then had to be educated about the process. And I'm hopeful, first of all, the CWG work hopefully will die down, at least. Legal advice to the CWG will die down, and for the CCWG, we're actively looking to getting things under control. But I think it's good that this group makes sure that, it would be perfectly legitimate that this group expresses its the importance of getting this under control as any other cost from ICANN.
Absolutely. Even more so with the visibility and the significance that it has. Yep. Talking about the USG transition cost, it's next slide, please. We've already covered the main information here, that we are at 7 million at the end of May. So this is a view at the end of May, after 11 months. It's missing the month of June, for which we don't have actual cost yet. And it's at 7 million, so we have about a million for the month of June versus the 7.9 that we've talked about previous slide. So one, we will be over budget by definition, because the annual budget is 7 million. We have been trailing below budget, vastly below budget, throughout the month of March, and since then the legal bills have accelerated the spend, is basically the story there. I think that at the end of the day, this is just looking at cost. Mathieu can elaborate if need be, but the point is that I think the support received is of high quality and is considered useful. So as long as it helps the objective of a good work on the transition, that's what matters, of course, within limits of means. Next slide. Checks.
Thank you. Jax Kawacha, for the record, ICANN Enterprise Risk Director. So I just want to give a little bit of background. I know that in the interest of time, I'm trying to be brief because I know we still have Carol after myself. Enterprise Risk Management, the department itself, was created at the request of the Board Risk Committee in July of 2013. That's essentially when I'd taken over the position and started developing the processes and procedures that needed to be in place in order to understand the identification process or risks within ICANN. Clearly, the identifying risks had been taking place well before the department, but this is a formal group that actually manages that function. In the management system slide that was shown earlier, it showed the strategic plan, the operating plan, and so on. If you look at those strat and op plans, you'll see risks within them. So we carefully align those functions to risk management to make sure that we are covering the risks that are potential threats to achieving the strategic initiatives that we really need to achieve. This slide represents an illustration of the model that we use. It's the COSO-ICIF model. Most of you probably have heard of COSO, the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations, but what we leverage is the Internal Controls Integrated Framework component of the COSO model. What that is it's the risk management piece of COSO. And the reason we leverage this model is because it's flexible and it allows us to conduct other types of risk assessments, such as the DNS risk assessment we conducted last year where we used ISO 31000 and we integrated that information into the COSO model. So the overarching model that we use within ICANN is the COSO model. Some of the main points of the model, the process itself is, you know, to identify the risks, we reached out to internal staff, executives, GLs, and then board members. And then recently we had reached out to the SOs, ACs, and SGs for any of the top five enterprise risks that they may be aware of. And based on the information that we're collecting, we evaluate those risks. We determine the likelihood that they'll actually occur. We look at the severity and the impact of that risk to the organization. And when I say organization, I'm talking about the whole model, the model itself, the multi-stakeholder model in ICANN. Anything that's going to impact our ability to deliver to our key strategic initiatives and our mission. So we look at it from a broader perspective, not just ICANN itself, the organization. Finally, after we do the analysis, we understand, we make a decision. We make an informed decision based on the evidence that we have in front of us. And then we respond. We take action on the risks. In some cases, we may purchase insurance. In other cases, we may avoid the risk by not even engaging in that type of activity to put us in that position. And most of the time, we mitigate the risk by putting controls in place. That's really what we try to do. If we can please go to the next slide. So this is just a short-term roadmap for everyone to see. I touched upon the first bullet up there, the five-year strategic and ops plan alignment. We really carefully aligned those risks that we've identified through the processes of inquiry and surveys and outreach to the strat and ops plans, and our goal is to complete that entire exercise by Q1. The framework and methodology, we've had it in place as of September 2013, but we're always fine-tuning it, because we're always doing new risk assessments depending on the specificity of what we're conducting. DNS risk is completely different than, for instance, enterprise-level risks, like financial and legal and operational risks. So we can constantly reevaluate our framework and our model. Board and stakeholder insight, we reached out in January on behalf of the board co-chairs of the risk committee, Mike Silber and Ron Mohan. They're the co-chairs for the board risk committee. We carefully work with them. We constantly report our results, constantly monitor risks. The landscape continues to change. It'll continue to change after the USG transition, so we have to look at that as a major risk. And so we want to put the right controls in place. We had shared a list of our risks based on requests from the CCWG. That list is published and posted. Bruce Tonkin is the representative for the CCWG, so we provided that information to him, and that you can find that on our website. The Board Risk Committee itself, we published the minutes from those committee meetings. Those are on ICANN's website as well. So as we continue to go through this process, we'll continue the outreach and engagement and the education of what risk management is, and we'll continue to collect and work with the community to hopefully mitigate a lot of the things that we're facing. I'd just like to leave it at that and open it up if there's any questions.
Thanks a lot. I think I would suggest we keep the questions for the end and we move to Carol Part because, again, we are quite tight on time. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Jack. The purpose of this slide is to talk a little bit about the audience and how we're continuing to build our dashboard model. If you look at the very bottom layer, the operational one, you talk a little bit about all of the metrics we're doing today and how we're doing them. We have about, I'll say, 99 or 100 of those we do use regularly now. This is a standard format on why you want with the operational level, and there's the directional level, which is all the portfolios and working and gets reported up and rolled up through to the global learning executives, and then it gets rolled up again into a more concise place into the strategic. We are in the process of rolling out a KPI dashboard. The target date for releasing that is the 20th of August, and that's corresponding with our quarterly stakeholder call because a lot of that data we would want to report on a regular basis, and it's a natural way to build that communication between the two, and that's where we're going. I'd like to go to the next slide, please. I think I've talked a little bit about this, but I'll just do a quick recap. The dashboard is aligned with the objectives, the goals, just like we talked in the management plan. So when you look at the dashboard, you'll see that it is aligned in how it's reported and tied to those particular components. We will continue to advance. I jumped. Right there, status and plan. We will continue to advance our portfolio and our project dashboards as well, and we'll continue to use them and advance them. Where we are today and what are we doing here at this meeting, we're actually starting to share some of that. We have a beta version that's very much in a development mode, and we've started to get public input on it and talk a little bit about how those, what the measurements are, how they're correspondingly different for different KPIs to different goals and objectives. And we're asking for input, and if any of you'd love to, we'd like to spend a little bit of time outside of this meeting. We will be having some informal chats and getting direct feedback. So if any of you are interested, we would love to hear from you, and we'll make time to sit down and do that. The last piece is what's coming next. I've talked a little bit about it being released in August, and one of the important pieces I would share is this is the first updated goal level dashboard. So it will continue to evolve. We won't get it right straight out the door. We want to make sure we include the stakeholders' concerns and inputs as well, and so we will continue to revise and update. Using this, you can see the five objectives. We've kind of put in data for three of them to see how they would look and how the model rolls up. You can see that two of them are yellow. I think it's important to know that we know we're not done with them. I think it's also important to know that we used a fairly high margin in for us to try to target and go to directionally. Something between 85 and 100 is a high margin to hit. Most of you will find that a lot of the data is in that 50 to 84, which is the yellow, but it means we're continuing to work on it and to improve it, and we're conscious of those changes and evolutions that will occur. We do actually have a few in the red, which means there is some aggressive work working on those and corrective action. Let's go to the next page. This is the second level, so from every top level, if you went from the objective, now we're moving down to the goal. Just in the FY16 to FY20 strategic and operating plans, it shows that there were 16 goals. If you used three, which is advanced organizational, technological, and operational excellence, which is one of those goals, you can see how we're meeting each one of the parts, if you will, to build that higher aggregated goal score and effort. So you can see that, and you can see how we did. For example, comparing actual to target staff voluntary attrition using a 12-month trailing approach, we're actually not where we want to be, and you can see that it is an area we would want to watch as an example. Next level. This is the third level. This is actually where you'll see a lot of the actual what I'll call trend charts and various charts. The financial one is one that we've talked quite a bit about, and it's a straightforward one, but there are others to show. This is just a quick model to show you what's coming and to show you that the dashboard's in development and moving forward. That's where I'm going to leave it for a quick demonstration and conscious of time. Is there any particular, I'll hold off on the dashboards. Let me just go to organizational excellence, and then I'll come back and answer any questions you have. I think it's also important to know that in the strategic and the operating plan, your feedback was the KPIs were not well defined. A couple of examples was when it went to the government KPI in particular, it was very much very singular in approach. It was about MOUs and numbers of MOUs. That is one that I am actively working on with Tarek and Mandy from our government group, trying to look at the best KPI metric that there should be. It's a more aggregated one, more about the ecosystem and the participation within the ecosystem, not just about MOUs, as an example. And I just think it's important to know we heard that message from all of you, and we are working on them. You will see that two of those high-level objectives have not got data in them because they are also very key. One is GDD, and it had very much to do with what is that industry and how are they measuring it. And the other one has to do with public interest, and a lot of that would need defining using the community to help build that definition of common understanding before we'd want to measure a metric and share out in an effective way, just to use two examples. Moving forward. This is just a little bit to share from an organizational excellence perspective. I mentioned it on the chart. We have actually, this is a little bit of a progress of where we are. We've done our first full ICANN, I'll call it, internal assessment, and we are in the process of finalizing that, and we will be sharing it after BA, after we've had a chance to roll up and summarize some of the strengths and areas of improvement to be worked on. Since it's an internal document, as you can imagine from a management perspective, it gets into a lot of detail, and we're going to roll it up and share just a summary of the of some areas of improvement and some strengths that were observed during that process. It is a follow-on to the IANA process. IANA did three or four internal assessments and then used the EFQM to do an external assessment and validation, which they shared along the way. We will use that same methodology and approach. And expectation-wise, it's a couple of years, if you will, to build that kind of a model and a process. So I'll show a little bit of a roadmap that's underneath that. So this is just sharing you progress. This is the five-year roadmap. You can see that we have done our first internal, and it shows for FY16, it shows that we're going to go more of an in-depth deep dive on half the company and build on that. Then the next year we're going to do a deep dive and build on the second half of the company and do that. We will still do an internal assessment each time, and then by FY18 we'll have completed a full in-depth and share that overall results. So there is a long roadmap to this process, and this is just sharing what where we are to give you some understanding of the process and the elements ahead. So that's all I wanted to share at this point. Any questions or things that we'd like to address?
So thanks a lot, Carola, Xavier. We have heard that you're working hard to pass on this KPI culture internally, and we really appreciate that. We, first of all, would like to reiterate our availability to help you as this community has experienced a lot of good practices in this area. So anytime we are available to help you to pass on the message internally. Is there any question on what we have heard? And both Carola and Xavier, they gave us some interesting insights of what they are doing to make sure that all the different actions that are in the different goals of the strategy plan and operating plan are on track as for measuring their delivering as well as their, say, contribution to the big strategic objectives. So any specific question?
Okay.
Okay. Xavier has a question.
No, it's simply while you're thinking through potential questions, your help has already, of course, materialized over the years through the comments that you're providing through strategic plan, operating plan, and budgets and so on, and notably since we have included KPI information in the five-year operating plan, the comments that you have provided on that help tremendously, of course, in the annual operating plan and budget that just closed. You have provided comments on KPIs as well, so this is definitely a very helpful. I think we may want to try to consider a slightly less formal process of communication and feedback if the group is willing and available to send maybe some pilots, some draft information, and have you guys providing feedback if you would like. That would be certainly useful for us, but we also don't want to abuse your time.
I'll just pick up on the point that I raised earlier, which is, and I noticed in Carol's diagram it's in there, and that how this feeds into the staff personal management. I just wondered, the KPIs were quite loose in a number of places. I don't know about, my staff are all on quite strict and measurable KPIs. So one of my questions is how the KPIs that you guys get given, and we acknowledge that you're relying on other managers providing you with information, how does that really feed down, because how do they manage their staff if they've got such loose KPIs?
It's a really good question. I would say over the last year, actually, we've been doing a lot of, I'm going to say this, education on making sure that the, if you will, the performance of each one of the individuals has much more SMART goals, and those get rolled up to the bigger and how those tie together. And our performance management system has also been rewritten to incorporate more alignment with management successes as well as individual successes as well as leadership successes as part of that factor. So now we've incorporated it into our halogen goals. With regards to vague and not having baselines and sometimes very concrete targets, it's an evolving process, and I would say we're just continuing to grow and learn and be better at it. But the answer is because we have everything, all of the projects tied in, we have multiple ways. We are in the process of developing a much more concrete way to measure and to have specific baseline and target for just not just departments but people as well.
Can I ask something that we also spoke about? You said you gave this example about MOUs and that you are working with Tarek's team to try to find out more concrete KPIs for measuring the engagement of governments or ICANN against international organizations. And we understand that, and we are really appreciating your effort in again passing on the culture of KPIs. But is there can we expect, you know, this work to be completed by a certain queue in the future, certain quarter? So just like saying we will be able, according to the feedback we got from Tarek's team, to make that improvement by, let's say, mid next year. I think this is something that would reassure a bit the community, at least this community, that there is a commitment to not to have it open until the end of the current 5-year strategy plan, but you know that at some point in the near future, hopefully, we get there.
It's a really good comment. I didn't get a commitment from them to give me a hard date, so I don't want to give one to you, but I will come back to you and tell you when they feel that they will have that in some of the cases. I would share that since we're going to roll out by 20 August a full first beta version, you will see all 5 objectives with some detail all the way through all 3 levels, and we'll encourage you to have more dialogue with you, and you can rate and see those. You will also start to see some baseline and targets in that very specifically, so you'll see more of that information. And so the answer is Q1 will show an improvement, Q2 will show an even better improvement with regard to metrics.
Q. Javier, would you like to compliment?
No, I think Carol said it. Our main objective right now is to finalize a first version of the dashboard, publish it, work with it, and then continue improving it from that point on. It's been a long, in-depth work in the weeds to be able to cover the entire organization, all the objectives and projects, and map them to KPIs. It's imperfect. The KPIs, you've seen it. It's not perfect everywhere, but we want to get to a point of completion so that then it can become a working document for everyone, and then we can move forward with continuous improvements on it. So, and I think we're really close now.
Thanks a lot, Xavier. You wanted to add something?
Just last comment. I sent it to Giovanni and Bart, the IANA functions cost analysis that we discussed earlier, so that you can distribute that to the SOP working group.
Thanks a lot. We are having a quite tight schedule with all these accountability IANA transition meetings today. So thanks again, Carol and Xavier. Just a last point is that we spoke briefly before you joined the meeting about what's going to be our message during the meeting we're going to have with the board. And one great comment came back and saying that we again reiterate our support to the work you are doing, especially, and we would like to invite the board to provide you, your department, the full support for your work in passing on this KPI culture internally within the organization. So that, I think, is crucial for your future work. That said, is there, thanks again. Thank you also to all the team who helped Xavier and Carola during today's presentation, and we look forward to meeting you again and seeing you again in the next meetings. Is there anything else we like to discuss? Again, we are quite tight on time. We got, oh no, Vikings at the door. You scare me, as usual. Okay, anything else before we draw this system SOP meeting to a close? I got that's a no, so thanks everybody for coming to this meeting. See you soon.